You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with Brittany Giroli, our MLB.com Orioles reporter. We're going to get into the Orioles lineup, rotation, bullpen, if the season started right now. No additions, no subtractions, just what they would roll out if they had to play opening day here in mid-January. We'll also talk a little bit about the Rookie Career Development Program. Some of the Orioles prospects were down there in Washington, D.C., including Austin Hayes, so we'll hear from him. But Brittany, I wanted to start with Chris Davis, who is on MLB Network on Monday. They had him on talking about his offseason, his 2017 season. And when you think about his 2017 season, obviously a disappointment, but a disappointment that he has taken full responsibility for, not just right at the end of the season, but it seems like he continues to do that. And it sounds like he is determined to have a better 2018.
Yeah, he really is. And like you said, he actually, last September, the last series of the season, he kind of called the media aside, local media, and said, "Hey guys, I want to talk. I got to get it off my chest." And he did. And since then, he's been really good at sticking to his word and saying, "Look, I got to get better. I got to strike out less. I got to put the ball in play more. I got to get back to doing what I do best." And if you look at his career year, the year he hit, you know, almost 60 home runs and led the majors, his average was really high. So he knows it can be done. He knows it's in there, and it is refreshing and nice for a player to kind of take it upon themselves, especially a player like him, a guy making a lot of money, signed to a record deal. He admitted that, you know, he has to start to live up to that, because if not, the Orioles are going to be in a really bad situation. They committed a lot of money to him. They believed in him, and he's got to do a better job at being more of a contact guy.
Yeah, you look at that contract and the market that the Orioles are in, and he has to be that guy. That money has to play within that lineup if the Orioles are going to be successful. All right, let's take a look at that lineup, and we'll do it right now as if nothing's changing. They put stories up on Orioles.com about the lineup rotation and bullpen. Tim Beckham leading things off at shortstop, so we'll see if that plays out. Jonathan Scope at second, batting second. Then Manny Machado in the three-hole. Adam Jones batting cleanup. Then Trey Mancini in left field. Chris Davis batting sixth. And then Mark Trumbo, Chance Sisko, and Austin Hayes. It's an interesting lineup, Brittany. One thing that stands out to me is Chris Davis batting sixth, Mark Trumbo batting seventh. Those are two guys that were such a big part of the middle of that order just 2 years ago. And now, as constructed right today, they kind of drift down a little bit.
Right. I mean, well, that's where they lived last year. If you look at what ended up happening, as we alluded to, Chris Davis didn't have a good season. Mark Trumbo didn't have a good season. So, you know, Mancini was a guy who really stepped up. Beckham really came in and did a good job. And if you're not going to get the job done, they're going to find other people who will. And, you know, if you look at that lineup, if they've got those guys batting that low, probably not a good year for them again as a whole. So that's the hope, that they move those guys up a little bit. But, you know, with no additions to the team, kind of asked to construct a lineup I went with based off of last season for the most part. And hopefully some of those guys prove me wrong. And, you know, we're laughing about this in June. But as it sits right now, you got to go with your best hitters. And that's not Mark Trumbo and Chris Davis.
And it is a lineup that on paper, if those guys produce, could be a very effective lineup. That's for sure. What's the biggest question mark besides those two guys actually bouncing back and having big years? What's another big question mark in this lineup?
Well, part of it's going to be what happens with Manny Machado, because if he plays shortstop, where does that lead Tim Beckham? Does he DH? Does he go somewhere else? Do they move him to second? Move Scope to third? Do they go out and sign a third baseman? You know, I'm not really sure. I think as a whole, this lineup has to strike out less and make contact more, but a big piece of that is Trumbo and Davis. If they can get those guys to do it, I think you're okay. This lineup is never going to be, you know, an on-base percentage, plucky, slap-hitter lineup. They're built for power, and certainly they're built to hit the ball out of the ballpark at Camden Yards, but they've got to be a little bit more well-rounded. And again, having Trumbo and Davis bounce back just a little bit, I think will just matter so much to how this club is going to go offensively.
All right, let's move on to the pitching, and that's where the problems really start to kind of arise as far as putting this together right now on January 10th as we record this, because the rotation, Dylan Bundy 1, Kevin Gausman 2, And then it's Gabriel Ochoa, Miguel Castro, and Alec Asher. Now, obviously, the plan right now is not to have those guys as your 3, 4, and 5, but that was the assignment, Brittany, and it's not a good look for the Orioles if that's what they end up rolling out there, 1 through 5.
No, it's not. And, you know, you could replace those three guys with a Mike Wright or Nestor Cortez, the real 5 guy, or, you know, there's a lot of different names you can throw around, but they're all pretty interchangeable. And in my opinion, you got to have those guys maybe fighting for 1 spot, but certainly not 3, as you said. There's a lot of time left. It's been a slow winter, especially free agent starting pitching-wise. But they got to get something done and something done soon.
Absolutely. And then the bullpen, when you take away the closer that's been so great in recent years, it doesn't look as great either. Brad Brock, you have listed as the closer, then Michael Givens, Richard Blyer, Darren O'Day, Donnie Hart, Mike Wright down from there. What is the thought on that bullpen? How many pieces do they need to add there? And do they believe Brock can get it done as a closer?
You know, manager Buck Showalter hasn't committed entirely to he's going to have close games. So I find it hard to believe they're not going to use Brock and maybe Givens if Brock can't go. I think they'd like to have Givens kind of get his feet wet a little bit more. They kind of see him as maybe the closer of the future. But certainly, as you said, it's a big hole. The good news is not many teams could lose a guy like Zach Britton and still have a viable closer option, and the Orioles have that. The bad news is they're really going to need some help, especially left-handed. Richard Blyer had a great year last year, so he's the lefty in the pen. They don't have anybody else. I put Donnie Hart in there, but really he spent a lot of the year at AAA, underperformed as well. I know they'd like to add another left-handed reliever. I talked a little bit about Nestor Cortez, the Rule 5 guy. He seems like a guy that can maybe slot in the bullpen. It's a lot easier to hide a Rule 5 guy in the bullpen than in the starting rotation in the American League East. So maybe 1, 2 slots up for grabs in that bullpen. Certainly they're going to have, like every other team, a wealth of non-roster invitees and sign some guys here later on. It always seems like the bullpen is kind of one of the last things a lot of teams do because the Orioles don't need any huge moves. They don't need to sign any relievers crazy money. I think they're okay there. They've really got to address that starting rotation first.
Is there a hope that Britton can be effective at some point?
Yes. I mean, they're pretty encouraged with how he's doing. You're not going to really have an idea until April or May, I think, of his timeline. You know, when he starts throwing, when he really starts rehabbing. The good news is it's not an arm injury. The bad news is, you know, Achilles are tough and they're stubborn and they're going to take some time. So I think anything they get from him in the first half would be gravy, certainly. But yes, they do expect that he's going to come back and that he's going to contribute.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Rookie Career Development Program. It's a program that happens every year for Major League Baseball where every team sends 3 or 4 prospects that are getting close or have gotten a taste of the major leagues. And basically in one weekend, they cover everything that a player will have to deal with not on the field, basically everything else, dealing with the clubhouse, dealing with the media, dealing with new teammates, dealing with new money, all of that stuff. And it's a program that usually gets rave reviews from the players. Austin Hayes was one of the representatives of the Orioles last weekend, and our guys who were down there got a chance to catch up with him and talk to him a little bit. Here's what he had to say.
Now that you've had a little time, I mean, your first full pro season was a whirlwind and, you know, a surprise to a lot of people. Now, I'm sure you had confidence in your ability, but if you look back and be like, wait, did I just do all that in 1 year?
Yeah, there's no way that I would have expected all of that to happen. I had confidence that I could go in and have a great year, and them having the faith to skip me from going straight from short season to high A showed how much faith they had in me, but I never could have dreamed that everything would have happened as fast as it did.
And you go high A, and then you succeed in double A, and then, you know, what was that like when you getting that call to the big leagues and being the first guy from your draft class to make it up there?
Yeah, I didn't even have time to let anything really soak in. They called me about 3:30, 4 o'clock. We had practice earlier that day. It was an off day. We had a playoff game the next day. And I just found out that I had to be at the stadium by 6 o'clock, so I had to go back, get all my stuff packed up. So I didn't have time for it to sink in until that night, but it was unbelievable. It was awesome. My girlfriend was there, thankfully, so I got to experience that with her. Got to call my mom after the game, so it was great.
What really worked for you, and, you know, what enabled you to be so consistent? I mean, you were a guy who performed in college, and so a lot of people thought that, you know, you probably would perform well in the pro ranks, but not necessarily that quickly. How, you know, what can you attribute things clicking so quickly for you?
The biggest thing for me was I had a great base when I was at Jacksonville University. Talked about my hitting routine every day, my T work, just just going about my business the same way every single day. And I found that that base that I had built while I was there worked great when I came into professional baseball, because it was every day. So I just took those same routines and allowed me to be in the same headspace, the same physical feeling going to the plate every day, and then just not letting one bad at bat affect another one or one bad day lead into the next.
How much pride do you take in representing, you know, not just Jacksonville, but maybe the mid-majors and smaller schools in general, sort of showing that, sure, it's great if you went to Virginia or Vanderbilt or wherever, but, you know, guys from places like Jacksonville can get it done too?
Oh, I take a lot of pride in it. You know, a lot of people would say I was overlooked or didn't get all the looks, stuff like that, coming out of high school, but I think it really helped me with how hard I would work, and playing with that chip on my shoulder, it just played into the way I go about my business. And I'll always have a tremendous amount of respect for players that go the JUCO route and they don't get all those early looks, but they stay with it, they keep grinding, and then they end up getting that opportunity and they make the most of it.
How much, I guess the main question is, what do you possibly do for an encore? I mean, you got a little taste of what it's like in Baltimore. I guess the goal is to try to force their hand so you can spend a lot more time there in 2018?
Yeah, I guess I'll just, same thing, keep the same routines going and not try to be someone I'm not, and continue to be the same person, and everything I've been doing has been working so far, so no need to change anything.
It's the kind of thing that it sort of, it almost seems like it feeds in and of itself, because the Orioles clearly had faith in you to draft you, to push you, to keep moving you up, and you kept performing. You know, how much did it mean to you that they clearly had that much faith in you?
Like I said, it makes me take a lot of pride in the organization and the people in the front office that decided to pick me in the draft and decided to push me a little bit coming out of that short season that I had, and having the faith to put me in high A. It gives me a lot more confidence in myself, knowing that the guys that are backing me and the guys that are employing me have that extra faith in me.
Okay, a couple fun questions. Right. One is who would you say is your celebrity lookalike?
My celebrity lookalike, I've heard Miles Teller a couple times, but that might just be because of the curly hair and the sarcastic personality. I don't know if it's so much for the face.
All right, fair enough. And what's been your craziest experience in baseball?
My crazy experience would probably be this season. I somehow managed to foul a fastball off my left eye. And I got lucky enough that it hit in my eyebrow and it didn't catch me in the cheek. Still can't figure out quite how it happened. It wasn't that far inside. It wasn't going to hit me. I've swung at that pitch a ton of times, but it managed to find its way up. I ended up getting 8 stitches, but I came back 3 days later and I was all good. I was very lucky.
Good stuff from Austin Hayes. Seems just to be so excited, Brittany, to have gotten to make his big league debut. And when you look at his prospects for 2018, the lineup you put together had him in there batting 9th. And for a guy like Hayes, that seems like a perfect spot, because he could surprise you down there, but it also doesn't add a whole lot of pressure for him.
Exactly. And again, like Trey Mancini last year, who started lower in that lineup, worked his way up, Austin Hayes could be a similar case, depending on what some of these big guns are or aren't doing. And he's certainly impressed a lot of people. You saw his arm, you saw his defense. I think they were also looking at his maturity, his poise. He really gets along well with Adam Jones over in center field. Hayes is a guy who could back up in center. I mean, he doesn't have a spot locked up. He's still going to have to win it in spring training. But if they don't go out and add another major league outfielder, I think that you're going to have to really take a look at Austin Hayes as the front runner going into camp, as being the guy to take that right field slot.
Yeah, and for a team that has been criticized for really not having a lot of young talent coming up through that system, it is kind of neat to see Hayes and Cisco penciled into that lineup right now, two young guys who will be getting their, you know, rookie seasons underway. So good stuff for the Orioles system and their development of young talent. This has been MLB.com Extra, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.